What is love?
What is love?
What is love?
What is love?
One word. Probably...
Friends.
Family.
Sacrifice.
Passion.
Relationships.
Selfless.
First.
Love first?
Yeah, like you're supposed to like love first.
For me, the best way to show love to a friend is to just support them and comfort them when they feel down.
Helping them through things and guiding them while also supporting what they want to do.
To give them aux in your car. I think it's pretty generous, so I think it kind of shows love to a friend.
The most overrated romantic gesture. Probably a public proposal.
Like when people put things like on Jumbotrons, I think that's kind of strange.
I would say pet names are a little overrated.
Really flowers in my opinion.
Probably just like any form of like PDA. I just don't want to see it.
Love looks like always being there for each other.
Love looks like remembering birthdays.
Love looks like family. Love looks like Jesus.
Sundays.
I'm in a church. It's the first thing that came to mind.
Love is not greedy.
Love is not selfishness.
Love is not perfect because I feel like everyone shows love in different ways and can be misinterpreted.
I do love food, so it's tough. Last fry.
Someone I love? No. Because I feel like if they love me, they would want me to have it.
Nah.
It depends. Okay, that's a loaded question.
If it's one of those Chick-fil-A fries, it's pretty big to split up, sure. But if it's like a singular French fry, I'm probably saving that for myself.
Probably because I don't even like fries.
Yeah, I'll share that fry.
Like get down on all fours, like scraping gum?
Ooh.
Can't say I would.
No.
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 I would. Honestly, been in this situation more than I'd care to admit. If it's dog poop, maybe I'd be a little bit less eager to help. But sometimes you need help. Sometimes you got to give help, and that's okay.
Can we give a round of applause to the high schoolers and youth staff? It is not easy to say yes to be in a video like that and be in front of your whole church, and so I'm just really grateful for y'all. I'm also grateful for the question that you asked, what is love? Because if we want to understand what love looks like as a church, then we need to understand that Jesus doesn't give us a definition of love. He gives us a demonstration. If you're new to Peachtree or joining us for the first time, welcome. So glad you're here. We are in a new sermon series called Cultivate, where we're going to be studying different fruits of the Spirit every month and talking about how God cultivates that fruit of the Spirit within us. This month, we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit of love. Rich has already talked to us about a love that remains and a love that obeys. And today, we're going to be taking a look at a love that serves. It's easy for us to think about love during the month of February, right? You know, like what's that thing that happens? Anybody know? Valentine's Day? Clearly some of you've forgotten, that's a big deal, but we can talk about that after the service. So anyways, I will be the first to admit, I'm just gonna be honest with you, I stress out a lot about Valentine's Day, more than I should, because I always wanna get a really good reservation for my wife and I to go to dinner, you know? It feels like I have to do this to prove my love to her. Anybody else in here resonate with that? So anyways, I do not need to prove my love to my wife. Like, yes, she wants me to take her out to a nice dinner, but because she loves me and I love her and we want to spend time together. So why do I get into this headspace of wanting to prove my love? Because proving something just turns love into a performance instead of something real that we get to experience. Jesus shows us a love that doesn't start with proving something. It starts with who we are. This is the essence of a love that serves, a love that takes up the towel and steps into brokenness. And this is because a love that serves kneels first. Love kneels first before it leads, before it fixes, before it tries to prove anything. In John chapter 13, Jesus shows us exactly what that kind of love looks like. But before we get into the meat of the scripture, we need to get into the story itself. And so I want to invite you with me right now to imagine that you are living within the time of Christ. There's no electricity, there's no modern conveniences. Whoever has the most power is the one who rules. And then there's this man named Jesus who comes onto the scene. And people are saying that he's the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, but you're not so sure yourself. And so you go to where Jesus is the night before he's taken prisoner and taken to the cross. And you see him doing something extraordinary. He sits down to have a meal with his disciples. And then in the middle of the meal, he gets up and begins to wash their feet. This is crazy to you. Jesus is making himself like a servant and wiping the dirt and the grime off of his followers' feet. And as an observer, would you see that as love? Or would you see it with confusion? You'd probably think that Jesus was trying to prove something. But John shows us that he isn't. He shows us that in John 13, Jesus actually reveals a love to us that is a love that serves because it's rooted in who we are, because it's willing to move toward the mess, because it's received before it's given, and because it is repeated so that it can become a reflex. So let's open up to John chapter 13. If you got your Bible, I welcome you to open it up with me. And we're gonna start off by reading verses 1-3. And it says this: "It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God." Let's pause there for a minute. Before Jesus even touches the towel, John tells us what he knows. There's three things we see in the text. First, Jesus knows that the Father has put all things under his power. Next, he knows where he came from. And then finally, he knows where he's going. And John includes these three things very clearly for us on purpose, because he wants us to understand that Jesus is serving in love from a place of security rather than insecurity. Jesus knows who he is. He knows what's coming. He knows that the cross is close, and yet still he gets up. He could have acted like a king, but instead he chose to serve. Francis of Assisi famously took a vow of poverty. He didn't reject wealth because he hated it, but he let go of it because he realized that he no longer needed it. Once his identity was secure in Christ, he was free to live simply and to serve joyfully, to love the poor without condescension. But what we've got to understand is that Francis wasn't trying to lose himself in this vow. Rather, he had found himself in Christ. He was so secure in his identity in Christ that he was free. And when you are able to find that identity in Christ, you become free as well, because Jesus is not serving to prove anything to us. He's serving because nothing at all is in question. Paul puts it this way in Philippians when he says, "Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." Love that serves flows from security, not insecurity. And when you know your identity in Christ, and when you are rooted and secure in that identity, then you can walk in freedom. And when you're free, you come to understand that that love is on the move. That love is moving toward the mess. Let's pick back up in John chapter 13. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. I want you to step back into the story with me. But this time, instead of watching from a distance, you're a participant. You are sitting at the table, partaking in the meal with Christ and the disciples. And all of a sudden, Jesus gets up, takes off his outer garments, grabs a basin and a towel, and starts to wash his disciples' feet. Everyone in that room would have had the same cultural context to understand the fact that it was the job of the lowest servant to wash people's feet. Feet were dirty and grimy, and they were not to be touched except for by the lowest of the low. But when we see Jesus do this, we know that Jesus is not just washing dusty feet. There's a purpose behind it. Jesus is stepping into human brokenness. My friends, this is physical dirt pointing toward spiritual dirt. Jesus touches grime. He kneels in front of sinners. He enters discomfort. And this is because love doesn't protect itself from the mess. Instead, it moves toward it. Some of us are carrying things this morning that we hope that Jesus won't notice. But the thing that we have to know is that that is exactly the space where he kneels in love. Paul reminds us in Romans that nothing, nothing living or dead, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus has embraced us. Love that serves is always willing to get close. But when Jesus does this, Peter resists. And this is what leads us toward the fact that a love that serves must be received before it then can be given. Let's go back to the text. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." But Jesus answered, "Peter, unless I wash you, you'll have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." Peter's confused. He gets defensive when Jesus kneels before him to wash his feet. And when Jesus calls him out on it, he overcorrects. "No, Lord, wash all of me. Wash all of me." Peter's struggle isn't against disobedience. It's a struggle with control. Peter doesn't want to be served because he wants to stay strong. He wants to be seen as capable and useful and be given authority in the kingdom of God. He wants control. But Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And he says this to Peter because he wants Peter to understand clearly that grace precedes action, that a relationship with Christ precedes responsibility in the kingdom of God. Often we struggle to serve like Jesus because we struggle to let Jesus serve us. And I'll be the first to admit that I have struggled with this. I spent years believing in God while still trying to manage my relationship with him on my own terms. I wanted to follow Jesus, but I didn't want to be dependent on him, and I didn't want him to see the dirt of sin in my life. But grace doesn't work if you can't receive it. We cannot give what we have not first accepted. So often this is what trips people up in faith because we live in a Valentine's Day kind of world, a world where something that is meant to celebrate love quietly turns into pressure and performance. You've got to get the reservation. You've got to have a relationship to begin with. You need to do all the right things. And before we know it, love becomes something that we're trying to prove instead of something that we receive. But Jesus is saying something different. He's saying through this passage that instead of grabbing for security from approval or comparison or accomplishments, we can start by receiving security and love from him. This is why he kneels. This is where love begins. And when you can receive it, you can start to repeat it. A love that serves is repeated until it becomes a reflex, something that we do naturally and automatically. Let's finish up in the text. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. For very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." When Jesus asks, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he's not asking the disciples about reenacting foot washing. He is calling them to repeat the posture behind it. Jesus isn't giving the disciples a ritual that they're supposed to follow. He is forming their reflexes. It's the same way in the movie The Karate Kid. Daniel thinks that Mr. Miyagi is crazy and wasting his time by having him wash cars and going wax on, wax off, over and over and over again. But Mr. Miyagi is not teaching Daniel a performance. He is building his reflexes, which Daniel then sees when he goes to his karate matches. Jesus is doing the same thing in this passage. A love that serves isn't something that you put on for special occasions. It's something that you repeat until it becomes who you are. James Clear said that every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. What you repeat will form who you are. Jesus does not lose his authority when he humbles himself to serve. Instead, he shows us who we should become by forming our reflexes of love. He doesn't just show the disciples how to serve, he shapes who they're becoming when he asks that question. He forms this posture within us because life is not about actually washing people's feet, but it is about finding foot washing moments. What I mean by this is moments that allow us to step into the foot washing posture that Jesus models for us. This is how we show a love that serves. And within the story itself, there are three images that tie us back to this. And I think that can help us remember the story to get into this posture. And they are the basin, which is where love is received, the towel, where love moves toward others, and the reflex, which is what love becomes over time. These are visual images that can cue us back to this foot washing story in our day-to-day lives so that when we find ourselves in foot washing moments, which we will, we can practically remember to receive and to move and to practice. These are the practical ways that we can embody a love that serves. So let's talk about receiving. This is where everything starts. This is the basin. Just like Peter, we have to be willing to receive before we can give. Love so easily becomes something that we try to prove, but a gift only becomes a gift when it's received, right? We have to start at the basin and receive what Jesus did for us as a gift. So ask yourself, have I actually received the love of Christ? Or is it something that I'm still trying to earn? What would it look like to stop proving and start receiving? Practically, you can do this by paying attention to areas of your life where you feel like you're striving or you feel a lot of pressure. Those are often the places where we're trying to hold things together on our own instead of resting within God's grace that he freely offers. Where are those places for you right now? And could they be an invitation for you to let Jesus meet you at the basin as opposed to trying to do everything on your own? When you acknowledge Christ's first foot washing moment and receive his gift of love, then you can love others from a place of understanding how loved you are without anything else getting in the way. Because a love that serves will always be rooted in your identity and in Christ and in his love, you are loved. That is who you are. But you don't take up the towel until you know who you are. When you receive God's love, then it becomes easier to move. Love that serves doesn't stay at a distance. It exists within proximity. Jesus didn't wait for his disciples to clean themselves up. He didn't avoid the awkwardness of their dirty feet. He didn't protect his comfort. He moved toward the mess. But some of us avoid our own mess. We try to stay busy or distracted or be self-sufficient. And then other times, we try to avoid the mess of other people because it feels inconvenient or uncomfortable, or it could be emotionally costly. But Jesus stepped into our brokenness without looking away. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus stepped into our brokenness without looking away. He knelt and he picked up the towel. He touched the dirt, or like the kids talked about in the video, he scraped the proverbial gum off the bottom of the disciples' shoes. Jesus met people where they actually were. And that's where he is right now today. So here's the simple question. Who is God inviting you to move toward this week? What's the mess that he's asking you not to avoid? Is it with a spouse or a coworker? A friend who's hurting? Maybe it's someone who you've quietly pulled away from because it just feels like too much. Moving doesn't mean fixing everything. Sometimes it just means showing up and taking up the towel in the foot washing moment that God provides for you. It doesn't always feel natural to do this though, and that's why we need to practice. Practicing forms our reflexes and lets love become a pattern that we live into each and every day. And again, these foot washing moments are everyday opportunities to live out the reflex that Jesus is forming within us. And you will have the opportunity to step into them this week because they're pretty common. But most foot washing moments don't feel spiritual. In fact, they usually just feel inconvenient. They look like listening when you'd rather scroll on your phone. They look like sending the apology text that you've been agonizing over and don't know if you should. They look like starting that hard conversation or praying even though you feel too tired to do so. So look for those moments. And when someone shows you love this week, receive it. And then if there is someone who needs love or care, kneel and offer the love that Christ has given you. Don't wait for some dramatic moment. Start small. It could be a text or a prayer or a conversation. Because practicing is what turns love into muscle memory. And over time, it becomes who you are. Receive, move, practice, and remember what the story shows us. The basin where love is received, the towel where love moves toward others, and the reflex, what love becomes over time. I want to invite you now to step back into the story with me one final time. The disciples are gone from the room. The meal is over. But the basin is still there. The towel is still damp. And Jesus' question is hanging in the air over you. Do you understand what I've done for you? He didn't ask this so that we would admire his humility. He asked it so that we would practice it. Somewhere this week, there will be a foot washing moment, whether it's at home or at work, in a conversation you don't feel like having, or a relationship that feels uncomfortable or inconvenient. And when this moment comes, remember this. Jesus didn't lose his authority when he knelt. He revealed it. The basin and the towel are not shaped like a cross, but the posture is still the same. Love doesn't start with proving. It starts with receiving. Love doesn't wait until it's convenient. It moves toward the mess. So this week, receive the love of Christ. Take up the towel. Practice the reflex, because the way of Jesus has always and forever will be this: love kneels first. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for being a God who makes the first move toward us. Thank you that you're not afraid of our mess. In fact, you turn toward it and you kneel and you make us clean through what you've done on the cross. I pray that you would give us what we need this week, that you would help us to receive you, that you would build the reflexes of love within us. And God, that whether we go and serve through some opportunity, whether we serve through a conversation, whether we serve just by listening, that love would bleed through into everything. Thank you for loving us first, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name I pray, amen.